Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. All right, hey, you guys know that I'm a wrestling coach, I'm a lifelong wrestler, and I'm passionate about the sport. That being said, all wrestlers love wrestling shoes. You got to have the best shoes. And for me, my top choice is Terra Grappler. This company's only been on the market for a couple of years, and they are making a huge impact, game changers. Ever since I started wearing Terra Grappler wrestling shoes, I have not went back to any other brands. First off, man, they look good. You got to be swagged out whenever you're wrestling, but they have to be functional. The fit and form of these shoes is tremendous. When I put them on, they have a sock liner. They absolutely mold to my foot. They feel perfect. I wear them on the wrestling mats. I wear them whenever I'm lifting weights. But honestly, I could probably wear them anywhere. They feel so good on your foot. So if you're looking for a good wrestling shoe, coaches, wrestlers, MMA fighters, boxers, weightlifters, make sure that you check out Terra Grappler. All right. They also have beanies, t-shirts, socks, accessories like that. But man, I'm telling you what, this company is innovative. They are changing the game. You can go to the link in my show notes, get yourself a little discount. You can also sign up for the Champions Club. So every time you purchase or people purchase using your link, you can get yourself a discount toward wrestling shoes and Terra Grappler wrestling gear. They are the best on the market, hands down, guarantee you. Check out the link in the show notes. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I'm excited, man. Today I not only have a guest, I have two guests. These two guys are co-founders of a wrestling shoe brand, Terra Grappler. It's actually more than just wrestling shoes, but man, I'm kind of a shoe buff. Of course, everybody listening to this knows I love the sport of wrestling. And this is a brand I'm really digging right now. So I'm fortunate to get these guys on here. Jared Ferreira. Jared is the designer, and we'll get into that here in a little bit, but man, these shoes are slick. And then Dan Tremonsozzi, who is head of marketing. And if you see the marketing, man, jump on Terra Grappler social media, you know, any of their social media platforms, especially Instagram, just absolutely killing it. So guys, man, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us, for sure.
Cool. Yeah. Pumped to be here. Talk about shoes, talk about Terra Grappler. It'd be a fun episode.
Yep. So, hey, let's start here. I want to go over a little bit of each of your backgrounds, all right? So people know who you are, and then you guys can kind of give me the backstory on how you started the brand. But Jared, so you're a designer. Tell me a little bit about your, you know, design background and how you even got started in that.
Yeah. So I'll take you back to when I was a wee little kid, man. I grew up without TV. So I had to find ways to kind of entertain myself throughout an evening, you know, barely could play video games. So you know, what kids used to do in the 90s, you probably draw a little bit, you play with Legos and you do those things that kids like to do. But I really like to draw shoes, you know, even architecture. I was very artistic growing up. So, you know, I always kind of dreamed of being a professional athlete like everyone else does back in the day. And then you think about having your own shoe deal. And then I kind of would design my own shoes. So it was something that started a long time ago. But now that I have more of a professional skill set underneath me and an understanding of logistics and how things work on a global scale, you know, I was able to put all those, you know, lifelong ideas into Terra Grappler and what we know today as Terra Grappler and our shoe line and our product line. So today I actually work for Samsung. I'm an interactive designer for Samsung, global brand, beautiful products, reliable products. We get to work with people all around the globe and share their design expertise. So those perspectives kind of fuel me to do what we do for Terra Grappler in breaking new ground and how people think and how people buy wrestling shoes today.
Excellent, man. Yeah, that's a big background too right there, working with Samsung. So all right, Dan, how about yourself, man? Like, tell me a little bit about your backstory.
Sure. Let's see. It all started in college. Jared and I both went to Bloomsburg University, and we were both athletes, and we were actually from the same town, so it made it easy. Jared won't tell you this, but he started his entrepreneurial background using Microsoft Paint, designing T-shirts for our block party each year. And he'd buy them at whatever cost you bought them. And then what'd you sell them for, like 15 or 20 bucks or something like that? So right away, I wanted to partner with Jared because he already had a good head on his shoulders in regards to business. And I mean, once I graduated, I've been in marketing my entire life. I work for Unilever Food Solutions, or Unilever as a whole. We own a lot of cool brands like Ben & Jerry's, basically any ice cream brand, we own it. We own like Hellmann's Mayonnaise, Knorr, stuff like that. So I'm actually a growth lead at Unilever. I lead a team, an e-commerce team. We just acquired a company a couple of years ago, and I've been leading that team for about 2.5 years now. So we both work full time, and this is kind of a side thing that we enjoy doing. And you know, we have time to do it. And we, you know, it started about 3 years ago, and we're running it from there. It's been fun.
Excellent. So you guys have, you know, super strong backgrounds in business, and you each have an expertise that you can bring to this to really make this pop, right? So, but before I jump into that real quick, man, so you guys are both college athletes. Tell me about that, because we have a lot of athletes and coaches that listen to this podcast. So what sports, and then just a little bit of your experience as a college athlete?
Yeah, so I'll start. So I'm the guy that's never wrestled. And, you know, when you're starting a business, you want outside expertise coming in. If you listen to the same song and dance that wrestlers have been singing for 100 years, you know, your brand might not shine, and it might not have that different twist to it. So I played soccer in college. Dan and I both went to Bloomsburg University. Dan wrestled Division I at Bloomsburg. I played soccer. So I had the opportunity not just to play there, but also coach there with the head of the coaching organization worldwide. So from a licensing perspective, he was the highest ranked coach in the world. So you kind of see what went into actual planning and tactics and strategy from a coaching perspective, not just day to day, but, you know, a long term investment in the athletes that you bring in, and understanding what an investment in people really means long term. So that was kind of cool to see. After my 4 years, I was the assistant athletic director at Bloomsburg. So our athletic director then was getting ready to retire. So I was basically running the show. I was responsible for developing our brand new field house, designing our brand new locker rooms, basically how athletes were going to use these spaces to their advantage for the next 30 years. So I was heavy on the planning board there. I was pushing through to get things like couches and TVs into the locker rooms for these college level athletes, because at the end of the day, it's going to help in recruiting when people are coming, you know, going to like a Stroudsburg or a Westchester or somewhere even like another Division I school like Edinburgh. And we have the facilities that can really push the envelope hard and lure them in there. That's what we're aiming for. So I was able to kind of put my stamp there from a management perspective in my early 20s. So it was a great time at Bloomsburg. Definitely gave me a lot of, you know, real world experience before I hit the real world. So I was kind of growing up before my time.
Yeah. And that gives you some real deep insight into athletics, but not, like you said, not only from the athlete standpoint, but also the administrative standpoint and everything that makes that world function. So that's excellent. Yeah. So what about you, Dan, with wrestling in college?
Yeah. Like any Division I wrestler, you know, I can just say it's a blast, right? It's waking up at 5 a.m. and running to the field house and then lifting and then trying to make it to class and then cutting weight, you know? So I experienced all that stuff, cutting a lot of weight, and just the atmosphere. In the beginning, I absolutely loved it. I really did. Transitioning from here at Kittatinny, we had a great program. We have a lot of, actually, a handful of state champions. We have national champions that wrestled at UPenn. So the program produced a lot of good wrestlers, and I just ended up at Bloomsburg. I love the campus. I was actually, I got into the school before I even went on my recruit trip. So it was pretty easy transition. And I only wrestled my freshman year just because I just didn't enjoy it anymore, unfortunately. And it got in the way of why I was there. And that was, you know, to get my degree and graduate. So after that, you know, I stood at I stayed active. A lot of guys that were ex-wrestlers up there, you know, we kind of had our own little clan. And when I graduated, I actually came back here to New Jersey, and I coached probably for, I would say, 6 or 7 years at a club. So I kept in it. I actually had my own club for about 2 years. And, you know, so I've been around the sport for a really long time.
Yeah. So, I mean, wrestling at any level for any length of time in college gives you an eye-opening experience that a lot of people don't get. And then, you know, yeah. Wrestler, always a wrestler. And it's funny because I'm a speaker as well. Sometimes I'm speaking in front of thousands of people, and but I'm fairly introverted, and my wife's like, I don't know how you do that. And she's actually a pretty good speaker, but she doesn't do that. But she's a social butterfly, right? And she can walk into a room and like have 20 friends in 15 minutes. And for me, I'm just looking for like one dude that has cauliflower ear. I know we're going to go.
Yeah. You're right. It's like, you don't see it that often. You know, we're a tiny sport and not everyone does it because it's hard. And when I see like just someone with like a USA Wrestling shirt on, or like a local school around here that says, you know, whatever wrestling team they're from, it's like, I can go have a conversation with that guy. I feel like he would get me, or girl for that matter. And excellent. Yeah. You're definitely on point when it comes to that.
Yeah. So, all right, Jared, you said something that I really like. So there's actually a chapter in my book called Outside the Box. And I'll give you just a quick little story on this, but in the world of wrestling, there's a thing called a monster mop, and everybody uses it now to clean their mats, right? It's like a 6-foot long thing, and you spray the mats, and then you push this thing up and down the mats to clean it. And I say push because that's what like 99.9% of coaches or managers or people that clean the mats do. I had a manager that came in who had never seen the sport of wrestling, and she decides after practice, she's like, hey, I'll clean the mats. And so somebody's spraying, and then she grabs it, and I look up and I'm talking to my coaches, and she's pulling this thing. She's like walking, facing forward and pulling it behind her. And we all like kind of laugh because she's like, oh man, she's never even seen a wrestling match yet, right? She's had a friend or knew somebody that was a manager. So she came in there. And so I'm like, I'll talk to her here in a little bit and tell her how to clean the mats. At least she's trying. So she gets done, and I get distracted talking to somebody, and I look over, and the mat is like smooth. It's like clean, right? You can see it's been cleaned really well. So I walk over and I grab the mop, and like I said, 99.9% of people push the mop, and I grab it and I start walking forward like she's doing, dragging it behind me. And I'm like, I'm now 100% certain this is how the thing was designed.
Yeah, because you're not walking behind.
Yeah. Everybody in the world has pushed it. If you go to any tournament right now or any wrestling, you'll see poop. It's tough to push it. The sucker sticks you're leaving your footprints behind it. When you pull it, you're cleaning your footprint. It took somebody outside the sport of wrestling to bring a different perspective because we're all kind of stuck in our own box.
Oh, true.
Yes. Yeah. So what you're bringing in from the outside of wrestling, and now I want to transition into this. Like I said, I'm a chew buff. I love chews. I started cutting grass when I was a 9-year-old, literally. And I bought my first pair of Nike tennis shoes, and I bought shoes my whole life, started buying them. Anyway, I've been through like every wrestling shoe you can think of. A654 was probably my favorite wrestling shoe up until about a year ago. All right, man, the 54s were clean. You just slide your foot in there and there's not even no laces or anything. They're slick. A lot of wrestling companies have come along over the years and tried to create a new wrestling shoe. All right, tough to do. People kind of have their favorites. They have their loyalties. And for a long time, it was Asics, Adidas, Nike started getting hot a couple years ago. And that's pretty much what everybody wore. And I've always been a dude that like, if I see an off brand or a small brand or something getting started, if it looks cool, like I'll try it, right? But a lot of the shoes just fall apart or whatever. But it's hard to break into this. And you guys, so then Rudis came out a couple years ago and did a good job with that. But you guys have really jumped in, and I feel like you're changing the game, man. So anybody that's listening right now, if you have not worn Terra Grappler wrestling shoes, hopefully by the end of this interview, you'll want to buy a pair. Okay, but now tell me how you guys started the company and the thought process behind that before I brag on the shoes a little more, because yeah. I have a couple pairs of them, so I have experience wearing them, and I can tell you.
Yeah, well, I've been friends with a lot of wrestlers throughout the year, especially in college. I probably hung out with the wrestlers more than I hung out with my own teammates. So I knew their pain points. I knew their habits. I knew what kind of creatures they were. I understand a day in the life of a wrestler very well from the outside. And that said, Dan and I had the idea, and it took a while to kind of execute. The first thing that really helped push the idea into its infancy stage was the trademark of our logo. Once we got the intellectual property passed on that, I knew we could basically do anything. That was the important thing. I didn't want to invest the time and the resources in something that was, you know, had intellectual property theft written all over it. So once we got that logo trademarked, then it was off to the races. And anyone that's seen the logo now, there are social movements going on in the world that symbolize this logo somewhat, and they cannot use the silhouette of a person with their fist in the air. We own that. So that's huge today. Our brand marks alone are probably worth more than the company is alone. But once we got that secure, we kind of were off to the races and doing some different sketches. We knew the time of 2017 was ripe for disruption in the wrestling shoe industry. You mentioned another company kind of hitting the scene then. And our thinking and our research was in the same lines, within the same lanes as theirs. We just knew the time was right for a new entrant. And anyone that takes business classes knows that there's something called Porter's Five Forces. And one of those forces is the threat of new entrants. And we wanted to be a new entrant. Unfortunately, there were a couple of new entrants that year. Some were more traditional shoe-based. And someone like us, we kind of took a risk and really tried to make people look over here instead of where they're used to looking in terms of their shoe choice and how they think about shoes and wrestling shoes, how they feel, fit, and function on the mat and throughout the course of a day. Kids that are at tournaments, they're in these shoes all day, and new wrestling shoes aren't the most comfortable. They're stiff. They feel like you have like a bunch of nails in them. Like I bought 20 pairs at a sporting goods store when we were doing the research for our first premieres, and I slipped on 20 pairs of shoes, and maybe one of them, I said to myself, man, these are comfortable. All the rest of them freaking killed me. And I have a pretty, you know, normal shape and size foot, you know, I'm nothing crazy. So that kind of fueled the thinking and what we wanted to mature into when we developed our shoe. So yeah, we usually stick around those pillars of feel, fit, function. But at the same time, design is what really helps move the needle for us. I mean, design isn't just how something looks, but also how it's going to function. So with our Mataform sock, you know, that's the one thing that really helped push through for us. Once people slipped that on and felt the compression fit around their ankle, stretching all the way to the tip of their toes, it was a fit and feel that no one's ever experienced before on a wrestling shoe. And it was providing kids all day comfort. The other thing that we really broke through on in the first shoe was the spine tread on our premieres, TG premieres. It's a very aggressive spine tread for, you know, in moments when you're on the defensive, when you're on your back, it's another weapon that you can kind of go to. So we actually integrated that, and it was a challenge because we had weight goals that we had to hit with our first shoe, and we were exceeding our weight by like 2 or 3 ounces. So we had to make a first shoe, a second shoe, and a third shoe until we kind of achieved what we wanted to. Was the first shoe perfect? I would say to my standard, no. To a lot of people's standard, it was the best shoe they ever put on. And they still message us asking for the premieres. You're going to come out with premieres again? No, we're not going to come out with premieres again because we're on to the next best thing. We're always working on the next best thing, even when the best thing is currently on the market. So that's basically, you know, how we got started and our framework when we got started. I'll pass it to Dan to share any other perspective from his marketing angles on, you know, why we embarked where we did.
Yeah, I mean, just to add to what Jared said with the timing and everything, what runs through my mind are a couple of things. It's, you hear kind of a buzzword used a lot, and that's called differentiator. So we knew that we couldn't just create a shoe. And I've seen a lot of people try to do this in the past probably 8 years, create a shoe and brand it. And the biggest issue they have is that the shoe falls apart. So for us, we didn't want to rush anything. I think I want to say the new Mataborns that just came out this week or last week, that shoe's been tested and tweaked for the past 3 years. And I think it just comes down to that confidence in our product now. You know, it took 3 years to do that. And like you said, you know, we've seen people try to do this, and you've tried other brands. If they look cool, that's awesome. But if the shoe isn't up to, you know, what ASICS and Nike and these big time players were doing, then you're not going to get repeat purchases and you're not gonna be able to build a brand. So I think we did a really good job on making some small tweaks. Like Jared said, that Premier shoe was the most comfortable shoe I ever put it on. And Jared, you could probably tell, what did I tell you when you made me put that shoe on? It was too comfortable. I put the shoe on and I said, this shoe is it's too comfortable. Like I could run around a basketball floor right now with these shoes on and it wouldn't hurt my feet. I mean, we took that into consideration too, because you don't want like a soft sole. So we made tweaks to the insole and stuff like that. But yeah, the two things that came down when we had the conversation, it was differentiator, using Jared's outside, look on things on the wrestling community. No one had a sock layer. No one had that Mattiform sock interform layer. We did it. I know there was one other brand that kind of released it around the same time or a little bit after that we did, but you know, we were the pioneers of that. That's our claim to fame. I think, that's where we're going to get the most eyeballs and that's how we're trying to build the brand. And then now we're transitioning and we do have regular shoes, your traditional wrestling shoe that doesn't have that sock layer. But in the beginning, that's what it was all about. We looked at, soccer cleats and we saw other brands doing that and saying, let's try it. And we did, and it worked out. So, fast forward three and a half years, that's where we're at.
Yeah, I remember I very first saw the brand, started getting marketing, and the marketing was good, right? So, Dan, you're really good at that. And so the marketing was good. You know, it's one of those things like, okay, do I spend the money on a shoe? Because I've been burned before getting a new brand, like you said, look cool. Sometimes they felt okay, and then they fell apart. Finally, just like, all right, dude, I'm going to do it. And for me, like, so after wrestling my entire life and knowing kind of like, maybe you like Adidas and you have one pair that fits really good or it's great for you. And then the next new year you buy another pair and they just don't quite fit right, whatever. But I can tell you most wrestling shoes are really tight. And most wrestlers like to wear their shoes fairly tight, right? You don't want your feet all tight inside of your shoes. I remember my sophomore year in college, man, I ended up over Christmas break having to have surgery on both my big toes, just like from shooting over and over. But basically the shoe I was wearing was destroying my feet. And it was a big name brand. So having a shoe that's comfortable, that your feet aren't going to slide around in, that looks good. I mean, look good, feel good, wrestle good. Everybody wants you to look good. You don't want to be a clown out there. So all those things, those are all things we're kind of looking for. So when I got my first pair of Terra Grapplers, I got them all white, clean, had the sock liner. And I'm a huge fan of sock liners, man, like tennis shoes, anything, I'm a huge fan. And so I don't like to tie my shoes. So I just like slide them in there. And even my wrestling shoes, I usually don't tie my shoes unless I know I'm about to have like a crazy battle. So then I might tie my shoes. But anyway, so I slid them on very first day. Like you said, like almost too comfortable. Like I was just like, dude, these are like right out the, like I could wear these around. And there, I got on the mat, moved around, showing technique that day, coaching. And like, dude, these are legit. My wrestlers, and this is like part of the litmus test, right? And I got high school wrestlers, and we have a pretty good wrestling program. And a lot of these guys collect shoes, and my wrestlers are all like, dude, what are those? Those are awesome. Like, I'm like, okay, they're a hit. Anyway, so wore those a while. I can tell you this summer, I mean, we're jogging in the gym, and I'm jogging in my wrestling shoes because I lift weights in them too, right? I wrestle in them, I lift weights in them, and I'm jogging in there. And it's like I got a pair of tennis shoes on almost, right? But they're super light. I'm a minimalist tennis shoe guy. Like I wear ultras and it almost feels like I have a pair of ultras on my feet, but made for wrestling. So I can't brag on them enough here. I'll let you guys. So Jared, I see that maybe you got to, and those who are listening right now, just via podcast, this will also be on YouTube. So because these guys are breaking out some shoes and I want to see them and hear about them.
Yeah. So the next thing we have coming out in a couple of weeks, obviously you've seen the Mattiborns, right? I'm not sure if you've had your hands on a pair, but maybe we can send you a pair after this.
Oh yeah. We got to send you a pair. I'll get you a pair out tomorrow.
Yeah. So the next pair that we're going to break out in 2 weeks are the Zahids. So Zahid's going to have his own shoe with us. And he's going to be like a Predator Z version. So they're going to be like a gold and white, similar to the ones that you had.
Yeah, nobody's seen those yet. The only people that have seen that are Jared and I and Zahid.
That is.
Yep. So you see a different upper on the back there than what we were that you previously had in the ones we sent you the first time. Mm-hmm. And then they're also going to come, these are samples, they're going to be like there's going to be a black outsole, but the upper is basically what it's going to be. So you have your gold accent and then your gold socks. So he wanted to do the whole gold theme along with the new and improved upper back part there, softer but at the same time still stiff, but a new texture that gives a new flare, just a new design flare for kids and when they're using the wrestling shoes. So those will be out for pre-order right before the big match. So we're going to be just in time for some, hopefully some success with Zahid, and then, you know, getting their shoes out the door and, you know, making the next level of our brand that much more penetrable in the wrestling community. And then I'll show you some other things that we're working on. We already have next year's shoes done. So are there people watching or just listening?
Just listening right now, but I will have this on YouTube as well.
Okay, good. So like next year, this is like the Matterhorn that you could see. And it's basically a chameleon that kind of changes color with the light. So it's pretty dope.
Dude, that is a sexy shoe. That's like right there, dude. That's like Back to the Future.
So, and then we have different colorways in, you know, those shiny finishes. I don't want to give away too much clue here to people that are kind of listening. So you can see all those deep, shiny colors. So obviously you have that color and then this color here, which is shiny as well. So.
Yeah, for those who are just listening on podcasts, like you're missing out right now. These, especially if you are a shoe head or you love wrestling shoes, like these are cool. Yeah. And I currently I have the gifts. I have those. I have the Predator gift, which that's what I'm wearing right now, the black and red ones. And those are awesome.
Here's a sample with just the stripes accentuated a little more. So pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chad, those I don't know if you noticed, but we made adjustments from your first shoe to the second one that you have. I mean, they're small adjustments, but we feel like that's definitely important. And that's why we're releasing like a 1.5 version shoe of that and not jumping right into another shoe, because we don't want to make more mistakes, right? We want to perfect that shoe. So Zahid shoe is basically a version of that shoe, but just with tiny enhancements and changes to it. I think that's what sets apart what we do, maybe with other brands. I'm not sure, but I mean, I can show you samples of shoes that we have that no one's ever seen before that are very similar. But we're constantly getting these in and then giving them to wrestlers to put on and test. So this is actually a shoe that we just brought in for Pink Cancer. It's not this color. I don't know if you saw it online, but it's all teal, black and teal. And they're just, it's just a phenomenal shoe. And, you know, I don't know if you know the background of that, but that's how we got started, Jared and I, in business, was through that nonprofit. So that kind of pushed us to do our own gear, because through Pink Cancer, if wrestlers raise a certain amount of money, they get rewards. And we were getting the gear from like other wrestling brands and paying a lot of money for it. So that was one of the conversations that started this, was can we do our own gear? And Jared was like, sure. Yeah. And that's where it started. So
nice. Now, hey Dan, if you don't mind, can you just do a real quick rundown of what Pink Cancer is, man? Cause it's so important, and maybe why you got started with that too. And I know we're focused on Terra Grappler, but man, yeah. I think it's such a great cause that these two are working together.
Yeah, no. Jared was involved with a nonprofit in Bloomsburg called Red Card Cancer and pitched me the idea and said, you know, when we graduated college, we were both still involved in sports. You know, I was coaching at the time, and he said, let's do it for wrestling. And we did it. And we like, you know, we did like the first thing everyone does when they're 22 and you want to start a business, like you go and create a Facebook page and create a logo and website. So Jared and I, obviously we don't have to like outsource any of those things. We build our own sites and our e-commerce platforms and integrate all that cool stuff, the email and all that stuff, which is, you know, a huge cost savings. And it's been, I think, a huge benefit for us to kind of, you know, having that background to just get down and create an email or create an ad and run it and know how to set it up and run it and test it and measure it. We don't have to pay anyone to do that. We just do it ourselves. But getting back to Pink Cancer, my mom was diagnosed when I was about 22 with ovarian cancer, and she battled it for about 5 years and ended up passing away when I was 27, about 6 years ago. And during that time, we started building up Pink Cancer, and I borrowed $2,000 from my coach at the time that I was working for. And we bought t-shirts and like support bands, and I paid them back like a week later. I would travel to like events and matches around New Jersey here. And then once we built like the online store, that kind of propelled us. And then we built a fundraising, or partnered with a fundraising platform that allows us to fundraise directly online. And that's called our Wrestle for a Cure campaign. Then we incorporated the Pink Cancer National. So it's over about a 10-year period, it's been growing, and I still do it on the side. I always just tell people that I credit my professional background. I learned more building that business than I did with my college degree, as bad as that might sound. But, you know, I had to learn everything. I had to learn how to build websites. I had to learn how to market. I had to learn how to, you know, manage inventory for an online store and the shipping logistics. And, you know, basically the big part of it was, you know, the finance and how to file your 990, like, you know. So now all that stuff is streamlined, which is nice because I learned it. But that's, I mean, I apply that to my professional, you know, career right now. And when I was hired at Unilever 2.5 years ago, I mean, that's something that that company really looks into is entrepreneurship. They actually encourage people to go out and try to help in their community. And if you're building a full-fledged nonprofit, they will back you on that. And those are the type of people that they looked for, especially within my company, within Unilever, which is, I mean, a lot of us are startup type people that have experience building businesses on our own. So definitely that whole entire experience between Pink Cancer and Terra Grappler, I mean, they know that I do both. Pink Cancer, I basically streamlined. So once I build the fundraising platforms and all that stuff, it runs itself. Like, it sends receipts to donors and email follow-ups to people once they hit certain milestones in their donations. So I don't have to touch it, which is really nice once we build it. And I don't know, I think it's been a great experience. I've learned so much and I've met so many good people in the wrestling community and outside the wrestling community. I was invited down to St. Jude. I met the CEO of St. Jude and had dinner with like their doctors, and we did the walk down there and did the, obviously when you're in Memphis, Tennessee, you have to go to Graceland and check out where Elvis, you know, lived. So we did that cool stuff. So the experiences that came with this has been just, you can't, like, I can't compare it to anything else. And it's really helped me get where I am today. So a mixture of all that stuff, I think, led, you know, to Jared and I going like, all right, what else can we do? Every day it's like, all right, we're doing, you know, I'm working full time. I have Pink Cancer. I also have Terra Grappler. In the back of my mind, I'm also saying like, what else can we do? Because that's just the type of person I am. And maybe I shouldn't do that. But it's, so that's basically Pink Cancer in a nutshell.
Yeah. And one thing Dan's being modest about too is how much money Pink Cancer raised for St. Jude. Dan, do you have a tally on hand with what you guys have done at Pink Cancer to date with St. Jude?
Yeah. So we've been donating to St. My mom loves St. Jude, and I actually got to get her down there and they gave her like a personal, like a private tour of the hospital. Probably I would say like 3 months before she passed, like how she made that trip and didn't even show that she was like in a bad state was really, really awesome to see. And that's how she was. But her wish, and she was part of the conversation because she was one of the reasons why we really started doing Pink Cancer. I told her, I said, we need to, like, instead of, you know, sending funds to different organizations all throughout the country, let's pick one and like use that in our marketing. And now people like that get involved with Pink Cancer understand that the funds now go to St. Jude. That was my mom's really, that was her idea. And I actually, we have a, after she passed, I have a plaque up in St. Jude that I think you have to donate like a minimum of $500,000 just to get it up there. And I have, unfortunately, I haven't been down there to see it, but they sent me a picture. It's actually hanging on my wall right now. It says, in honor of Marjorie Tremontozzi, the inspiration behind the Pink Cancer campaign. So her plaque is actually hanging in the hospital, which is really awesome. But yeah, I would say close to 500,000 we've donated to St. Jude, but you know, growth throughout the 11 years that we've been doing Pink Cancer, and we've donated to other hospitals, other cancer institutions, we've raised over $2 million. So I think to do that strictly with like no grants and just peer-to-peer funding and people donating, and obviously the wrestlers creating their fundraising pages, and to be able to continue that, our best fundraiser was last year's Pink Cancer Nationals. We raised, I think, over $150,000 on the weekend. And a lot of that was because of something new that we introduced, and that was the rewards that these kids were going to get. So as they raised $100, two, three, four, five, all the way up to $1,000, they earned all this gear. And that was a huge motivator. And the one thing is, once a kid raises $150, we refund your entry fee, which is $50. So right now, like, the parents are like, get grandma and grandpa to donate because I get my $50 back. My kid wrestles for free. Oh, and by the way, you know, we have email triggers that go out and say like, you're only $100 away from this. And that just, I want to say like over 65 wrestlers last year donated over $1,000 and they all received that gear. So for us, the gear isn't a moneymaker, but it's more of like an incentive to, for these kids to raise more. And it worked. We raised double the amount that we did the year before. And it helps us build the credibility of the tournament and helps us build numbers every single year. Unfortunately, I canceled it this year because of what's going on. But I think the two businesses have been working out so well together that like we just need to continue. And what benefits Tara Grappler also benefits Pink Cancer and vice versa. And I mean, sometimes we get pushback on that from people. Like, how are you profiting from Tara Grappler through Pink Cancer? We're not, it's two separate companies. Like, I kicked Jared off the board the day we started Tara Grappler because I didn't want any conflict of interest. So he was gone. And we brought other people on board, but the two have been like, it's been a great experience. You know, we met Zahid through people that knew Pink Cancer and myself, and just the connections that the two are helping. Hopefully we can keep it going. I think it's really sustainable. And I don't think a lot of people have that luxury to know the amount of people that we know. And the fact that people don't know that we know those people is there. It's even better.
Yeah. Well, I think that today, especially if you're going to hire anybody under 30, probably people want to work for companies that have a cause, right? And it's funny, I was literally just this morning listening to a podcast with the founder of Tom's Shoes on there, and he was talking about how they got started. And so I think anytime you can connect your business with something that also helps other people, that's like a double blessing, right? That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So entrepreneurs, I mean, that should get your mind going a little bit. And then also, how can we be really good and help people that are in need? Beyond that, I would say sports in general, but especially the wrestling community, like, we're passionate people, man. We get each other back to help, and if there's a cause, like, we're going to jump in on it. And so I think the two work great together, like you were saying. And I don't know the behind the scenes, but from the outsider perspective, I really like that you guys are doing things together. So now, you know, you've brought up Zahid a couple of times. You guys got, you know, Gregor the Gift, UFC fighter. You got Zahid, Valencia. Tell me like about a little bit about that. You know, people, anytime you have a company and you can connect it with an athlete, that's a win-win. But why those guys to work with? What was it about their character? Or, I mean, we know they're good athletes, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jared worked with Gregor and really got him on board. And to be honest, Gregor came to us and was just showing a lot of interest. So we were like, yeah, we'll send you a pair of shoes and work out in them. And you know, he did. We did that. And then he's like, I need more shoes. Like, I have other guys that want shoes. And, you know, it just kind of snowballed into like, hey, let's do a shoe for you. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. So that was that relationship. I mean, it's been pretty easy working with him. And hopefully he gets another fight here soon. Just supporting him. And really, it's just, it comes down to that. You know, same thing with Zahid. We recently brought him on board. And we understand that, you know, he's a young athlete that's about to make some noise on the senior level. And we looked at an opportunity to help him, I think. And no one else was going to do what we were going to do for him. Mm-hmm. And that was give him his own shoe and try to propel him into the national or the senior level. And, you know, his match next month against Burroughs is going to be a big one for him, as well as us and our brand. I mean, I think that's going to be really big for us. And to be honest, working with Zahid and, you know, Mark Perry with Sun Kiss Kids and, you know, some guys here in New Jersey, Mark Bogart, that basically set all that introduction up. Mark reached out to us years ago and just said, I love, he wanted a pair of the premieres. And I said, come by my house and pick them up. So that's how that relationship started. It's just, hey, can you ship me a pair of shoes? I'll pay for them. And I just said, like, here, no, come get them, because I know who you are. And for those who don't know Mark Bogart, he wrestled at Blair. He was a national prep champ multiple times. And he coaches at the Edge in New Jersey. So I've known all these guys for a long time, but yeah, he's the one that set up the Zahid partnership for us. And we'll see where it goes. I mean, it's still new. We're only about 2 months in and we're waiting on his shoe to come in, but I think it's a great opportunity for Zahid to put his mark and show what the type of wrestler that he is. And I think it's time for like that new era, and we're just hoping that it's him. Yeah. Jared, what else can I add to that?
No, it's just, I think we saw the writing on the page of what's to come for him, and we were willing to put our money where our mouth is, I guess, signing him to, you know, a long-term deal and giving him his own shoe. You know, that doesn't happen by just signing a piece of paper. There's a lot of things in the background. So Dan and I were looking at tape, and we were, you know, watching Zahid and just seeing how he carries himself. Is he a marketable figure? His, you know, between his face and his stature and the weight class he wrestles at, his accomplishments throughout his career. We're looking at all that kind of thing and making sure that the investment that we were putting into it was going to pay off. So, you know, in August when we signed Zahid, you know, we were basically all in on Zahid. And then when he had this big match announced with Burroughs, then we were like, yes, we made the right choice. Regardless what happens here, there's obviously a bonus if something happens that we are all hoping happens, if he wins. But the fact that he's getting the attention, you know, from Flo and nationally like that, that showed us that we picked the right guy and the right guy that we want to grow with.
Yeah. So it's good for, I mean, it's good for you guys, for your business, and then for the athlete, man. So I remember when I was in college, I was training with some senior level athletes, and these were guys that were top three in the ladder. And we're training a couple days a week in the spring wrestling. And these guys were struggling, man. I mean, this is in like the late 90s, early 2000s, but living in a trailer, hardly any money. And back then, people didn't have sponsorship opportunities and things like that. They're training so much, they don't have time to hold down a full-time job. Like I said, these were high-level guys. And I just remember thinking, like, man, when I graduate college, like, if I'm not like one of those absolute highest-level guys, I don't think I want to do what they're doing. I mean, these guys are eating beans out of a can, not because they were cutting weight, because that's all they can afford, man.
That's so true.
Yeah. So as an athlete, to have somebody sponsoring you and helping you along in the journey, because you're going to be able to focus on what you need to focus on at that point, right? Now you can go become a better wrestler, because some of these other things are taken care of a little bit. So that's awesome, man. I love that you guys are doing that and the partnership there.
Yeah. And you got to realize too, from a business perspective, you know, we're in that position because we manage the business right from day one.
Yeah.
You know, we don't pay ourselves much from Terror Grappler because we just want to keep reinvesting the dividends and using those dividends to invest in someone else, technology, design expertise, data aggregation. We're huge on data. I just love looking at the data from our e-commerce channels, our social platforms, our buying behaviors, data that comes in regarding, you know, shoe usage. We buy shoes back from kids just so we can examine exactly how they're wearing and tearing, if they are even, and how we can improve them in the future. So we have a group of kids that we do communicate with on that initiative. But like I said, it's just, you know, making sure that the financial health of the company is setting up the next 3 or 4 years so we can have, you know, bigger bets in place for other athletes and other products and other pieces of technology that are going to shape this industry for the better.
Yeah, that's, you guys are doing everything right. You guys are like, what I would say, even doing, I mean, the buyback program and with some of the athletes and then looking at the shoes, how can we get back? Because that's what we do as athletes. I mean, that's what I do as a coach at the end of every season. I mean, we make, you know, all throughout the season, making adjustments, but then as a coaching staff, we're going to look back what worked, what didn't work. And we're always trying to progress. We always want to get better. I'm like a strength conditioning guru. I'm constantly like, what can I do to be better at that? You know, how can we make our training better? And all those things, that's what you guys are doing, which is phenomenal. Now, I don't want to take a ton of your time. I respect you guys' time. And this has been awesome. I do want to ask you this, because I have a lot of high performers on here and I consider you guys high performers, man. Each of you just give me like, what are a couple of things that you do daily in your life, whether it's your morning routine or maybe some non-negotiables for business? What are a couple of high performance habits that you do daily in your life that we can hear and maybe still want to use in our own lives?
Yeah, for me, I think, you know, that I'm moving up the ladder in Samsung, and the reason why I've been able to do so with a company that is, Forbes has named them the number one employer in the world. Interbrand named them the number five. We
made that list too.
But the thing is, every single day, I don't shy away from a conversation with somebody, whether they're above me, a VP, a CEO, or someone else that's below me. Conversations fuel your mind with thinking and creativity in ways that your mind isn't meant to think or, you know, conjure up. So, you know, just having discussions with people, asking them questions on experience, on why they do things the way they do them, just listening to their perspective can only fuel your thinking. You know, you only have one brain. For them to share part of theirs is a big part of, you know, the influence of what I do every day.
Nice. Very good.
Yeah, I would say never stop learning. I mean, I know it's cliche, but I ask questions. You know, I'm not the smartest person in the room, although a lot of times I think I am. I'll give you some insights into my career. And I've been working on this a lot, and maybe it's because of, I've Ari Gold hanging in the background, but my mentality is aggressive and I take a lot of risks. So I think that was one reason why I'm leading a team that, we're risk takers. And if, you know, senior management says, no, we're not going to do this, we always say, well, then let me test it for 2 weeks. And if it doesn't work, we'll fix it. I think that's the biggest thing, is people don't take enough risks. It only takes 2-3 weeks to test something. So yeah, I guess my advice, the one thing that I constantly do, it's learning. Chad, you just said you were listening to a podcast. It sounds like you're in the same boat when it comes to that. When I was, Jared and I both typically work from home, but you know, my office is right outside New York City, and I'm about an hour and 20 minutes from there. So when I'm driving in, I'm listening to a podcast or I'm listening to an audiobook. And it's, to me, it's just like, don't waste your time. And when you have an opportunity to learn something, go and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this, I mean, my podcast is Coach P's Perspective. I'm huge on other perspectives, you know, Jared, like what you were saying, and Dan, what you were saying, we're always learning, right? So yeah, for me, I mean, I'm usually reading one or two books at a time. I'm listening to an audio book. Sometimes listen to audio book while I'm also reading a book, and then podcasts. And not just in my area, right? Because I learned a long time ago, I'm a wrestling guy. Do I study great wrestling coaches? Absolutely. Do I continue to study wrestling? Absolutely. But I'm also an entrepreneur. Also, whenever you're a wrestling coach, you're also a CEO, essentially, right? Promoting your program. So I'm listening and reading about top business people, top people of faith, I mean, all different areas, because I can learn. And principles are principles. Once you know them, then you can apply them in other places. So trying to learn those principles of success. And you guys just gave us a couple of great ones. I appreciate that.
Yeah, another one too, if I could add, it's like never being satisfied with your work. So we just put out a great shoe and we're selling this shoe. We have to put all of our eggs into this basket for the next couple of months. But in the front of my mind, I know what the next best shoe is. So I'm going out and seeking that, you know, right now, right away. Before we even started selling these shoes, I was thinking about the next one.
Yeah, it's awesome. So a couple episodes ago, I actually put out an episode called Don't Get Satisfied. My dad was a high school wrestling coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's a great coach, but his assistant was our football coach and very impactful in my life. And every single time I stepped, he would always make deals with me before I wrestled. Be like, hey, get 15 takedowns this match and I'm going to buy you a Gatorade or something. And then whether I whooped a dude or it was a close match or whatever, when I walk off the mat, he'd be like, Parks, don't get satisfied. Yeah. That's how he talks. Don't get satisfied. Every single time.
So. Yeah. So at Samsung, I won our first ever global best practice in the US globally. And they threw me a lunch and things like that. And that was it. So achievements, I don't believe in celebrating achievements, because your best work is always ahead of you.
Yep.
Yeah, but once in a while, it's nice to, you know, smell the roses, Jared.
That's when we usually go out for a beer and just kind of let loose and reflect.
Yeah. And let's be honest, that's how our first shoe was designed. You didn't tell that story about it was designed on a napkin at a bar.
It was.
We were drinking Shirley Temples, but it was at a bar.
Yeah. No, that's good. It's amazing how many. I think, Dan, I sent you that. I have a good friend that owns a multi-billion-dollar advisor company, and him and his buddy sat down at his kitchen table and basically drew it up on napkins, you know, and here
they are.
15 years later and you're one of the biggest companies in the nation. So
you got to start somewhere, right?
Absolutely. Well, man, thank you so much for being on here, man. This has been, it's been a blessing to have you guys on. I've got to learn a lot from you. And then everybody listening, man, Tara Grappler, you guys share with us real quick and I'll make sure it's in the show notes, but where do we find you at? Tara Grappler, Pin Cancer, I mean, those type of things. And you two, I know you guys are promoting your brands, but I mean, you two are great individuals as well. So how can we contact you or find you?
Yep. So it's Tara Grappler, TerraGrappler.com. So there's no E in there like Grappler. So it's LR at the end. Okay.
Yep. And social handles. Yeah. Basically anything at Tara Grappler. Same thing for Pin Cancer at Pin Cancer. And if you search my name, Dan Tromatozzi, you will find my website with all my links on it. I'm not sure about Jared's. Jared's, he's slacking a little bit on Google when it comes to ranking for his own name, but no comment.
No, I'm competing with other big sources, if you know what I mean.
You're competing with other Jared Ferreras. Fortunately for me, there's not many Dan Tromatozzis, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I told these guys before we started recording because I want to make sure I was saying their names right. It's Dan and Jared, but it's like I'm from the Midwest, man. There's not a whole lot of Italian names like that around here in the Midwest. So I got to say, I love the East Coast, man. So I absolutely do. And you Jersey guys are, whether it's Jersey, New York, and there's just a whole different culture out there that it's so fun to me, but so many just phenomenal people too. So again, man, thank you guys for being on.
Yeah, problem, Coach. Thanks, Jared.
Yeah. All right, everybody, listen, this has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, shine his face upon you, and give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review. Especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, that's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow this show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. You know, this is an incredible company, family-owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, you know, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up. And this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, t-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love and God bless.
Podcast complete. Now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins. Tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step. CSL rep. Pop, lock, and rock. Coach P, who never stops.